Where would we be without the Lord on our side? Amen? Amen. Need to make a correction in my announcement. The angel tree are the children of those who are incarcerated. I think I said incarcerated children. We don't need the children incarcerated. Glory. Hallelujah. So charge that to the overflow, the hangover. The Holy Ghost hangover. All right? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you formed me out of clay, and for your glory I was made. So use this vessel, Lord, in this moment as you choose, and let my life, let it praise you. Speak to our hearts. Give us ears to hear what your spirit has to say to the church. And God, help us to be doers of your word, not hearers only. We ask these blessings and we thank you for them and receive them now by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was thinking earlier in the week as what I believe the Lord would have me to share this morning, I was thinking about Passover, and I was thinking about how the Passover was instituted in the 12th chapter of Exodus, when God fulfilled the promise that he made to the children of Israel that he would deliver them. And in the 12th chapter of Exodus, just for your background, God told them how to get the animal, the lamb, or the kids, and to separate it on the 10th day, separate it from the herd, and then on the 14th day of that same month, the children of Israel were to kill the lamb together. Everybody was to kill it in that evening, and they were to take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorpost, put it on the doorpost and on the lintel, on the side post. And because God told them through Moses that he was going to deliver them, he was going to come through the land of Egypt, and he was going to smite firstborn of every living thing, of mankind and of beasts. And he said, when he see the blood, that he will pass over those. And those who took heed to what God commanded and instructed Moses, they received the blessing. They received the deliverance. And God told them that when you eat this lamb or this kid being goat, you shall eat it with haste. Eat it with your shoes on, with your staff in your hand. Eat it because you're moving from this place. I'm moving you from one place to the next place. I am delivering you out of the Egyptian bondage, and I'm taking you to a place that I have promised you. Not only did I promise you physically, but I promised your ancestors. I'm thankful to the Lord that the promises that God has made before any of us even came on the scene, we are yet still in 2017 reaping the benefits of those very promises of God. I'm thankful to the Lord for that. Amen. We didn't have to come on the scene for God to send a promise that would meet our condition, but way before we even got here, before the very foundation of the world, the Lamb of God was slain. And I'm thankful to the Lord for that. So as my mind was kind of in different areas, and I thought about the Passover, and I thought about how in the Gospels, in several accounts of the Gospels, I believe in Luke and even in John, Jesus with his disciples, before he was going to go to the cross, his disciples, in one of the accounts, I believe it was in Luke, in the account of Luke, they asked Jesus, where would you that we would prepare the Passover? And Jesus said, I want you to go in town, and you're going to find somebody's going to meet you with a pitcher of water. Follow him and go to the house that he goes in. And when you get to that house, then tell the good man of the house that the master has need for the room that you prepared. And that's exactly what happened. When they went to the town, they met a man who had a pitcher of water. He met them, and they went to the house. And the Bible says that, this is in Luke, the 22nd chapter, the Bible says that they went there, and everything was arranged. So I'm thinking in my mind, and my mind works, it works, thank God it works, but sometimes it doesn't work in the pattern that maybe some would think it should work, but that's okay. So I'm thinking in communion, and our communion is a holy communion, right? Right? It's a holy communion. So I have to look at holy, sanctified, set aside, dedicated to God, set aside and sanctified by God, for God, to God. All right. Then I was thinking about the communion, then thought came to my mind, fellowship. So it's a sanctified fellowship. It's a holy fellowship, and thank God that God has made it possible for us to have fellowship with him and have fellowship with one another. And when we think about communing with people, there's associations and a circle. When you have communion with people, you know, we commune with one another. We fellowship with one another. So a question popped up in my thinking about this. The question popped up in my head, and I'll just share it. Maybe you all can help me answer it today. Who are you really close to? That's what I want to kind of talk about. Who are you really close to? There's some things that caught my attention in the scriptures, and the first one is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. There's a verse here that we'll look at as it helps me point my mind and my focus to the question that I have to answer for myself, and all of us have to answer this question as individuals. Who are you really close to? Who are you really close to? Now, mind you now, just we will flip in my mind, hopefully, back and forth to some scriptural settings. And we are well aware of the fact that even when Jesus was sitting with the 12 apostles and he was about to partake of the Passover meal with them and then institute the Lord's Supper with them, he was sitting with 12, and one of them was a betrayer. One of them was of the devil. One of them, it had entered into Judas Iscariot's mind that he would betray Jesus. But he was still there. He was still there in that prepared place, in that prepared upper room, lounging and reclining. That's how they ate back in those days. They had pillows and things, so they would lounge and they would eat. He was in close proximity to Jesus, right? If we can just go through our mind and look at our circle might not be as big as 12, but whatever the size of our inner circle is, or the circle of influence that we are part of, question we have to ask ourselves, is there a traitor? Is there a betrayer in our circle? And a deeper question is, are you the betrayer in the circle? Because as we look through the biblical account, Jesus was well aware, what Judas Iscariot was going to do, and he announced to all of them, he said, verily I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. One of you is going to betray me. And it hurt the disciples. It hurt the apostles. So they began to question within themselves, who is it? Is it I, Lord? Is it I? Who is going to betray the Lord? So I'd like to pose that even type of a question this morning. Is there any among us that's sitting under the sound of my voice? Are you going to betray Jesus? Now, we're getting ready in a little while. Right? But is there something in your heart? Is there something that you're going to do? Is there something in your mind where you're just close, but then you still have your heart and your mindset that I'm going to do what I want to do? And anytime we follow the leading of our flesh and not the leading of the Spirit of God, dare I say, we eat, but we betray. If our minds and our heart is not right, if our minds and our heart are not set on doing the will of God. Yeah. Then we betray. We betray with our actions. We betray with our thoughts. We betray with our deeds. We betray with our conversations. So in this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I probably won't get a whole lot of encouragement, but God is my encouragement because we need this. We need this. Listen, God is concerned about our souls. God is concerned about our well-being. God does not want us to fool ourselves and lull ourselves to sleep. So he sometimes, he most of the time will give us promptings through his word to examine ourselves and see what we're doing and how we're making progress in our walk with him. So in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul was addressing the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the beginning of that 15th chapter, there were people who were saying that Christ is not risen. And Paul, up in that upper part of that chapter, he said, if Christ be not risen, then we're still in our sins, right? Basically, we might as well fold up and just go on out. We might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But he says in another part of that chapter, but now is Christ risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of them that slept. So in his conversation in his 15th chapter to the church at Corinth, I want to just pull out verse number 33 or highlight verse number 33. He says, now remember, he's talking to the saints at Corinth. He's talking to the church at Corinth, right? He says in verse number 33 in the Amplified Version, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, he says, do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communions, associations corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and character. So that's why this question comes to my mind. Who are you really close to? Don't be deceived. Don't be misled. If you are a companion, if all your people that you associate with are bent on evil, if all your associations, or the majority, if you will, of your associations are evil, they will corrupt and deprave good manners, morals, and character. How much of an influence, how much do we allow evil to influence the way we think, where we go, what we say? Now, he's writing this to a church, so evidently there was a problem in the Corinthian church. And I would dare say that in some church today, this is the problem. All right, let me bring it narrowly in. I would say that in our congregation, this is a problem at some level or another. Evil companionships, evil communions, evil fellowships, evil associations, ungodliness is evil. They will corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and good character. See, God wants us to be influencers. He wants us, I believe the scripture talks about us being the light of the world, and God talks about us being the salt of the earth, but we have to be the light of truth, the light that's in us cannot be darkness. So the question, when we ask the question, who are you really close to, there's a group of questions that spring from that question. Are the ones that you're close to influencing you, or are you influencing the ones that you're close to? And what are you being influenced to do, and rather, what are you influencing them to do? Are you influencing someone to live for God? Are you influencing someone to turn away from sin? Or are they influencing you to do a little bit of this and a little bit of that and think like this on, and this won't hurt and that won't hurt? And then we bring, sometimes we bring these things to the table, and we go through the process, or we go through the rehearsal, and we hear the word for a moment, but is it finding a resting place in our hearts? And are we actively pursuing to live in holy communion? Are we actively pursuing to live a life that is dedicated to God? Are we actively pursuing to lay aside every sin and the weight that does so easily beset us? We need to ask ourselves, is it me, God? Have I betrayed you with my actions? Have I betrayed you with my thought? Have I betrayed you with my conversations? Have I betrayed you with my associations? We need to take an introspective look at ourselves. We can't afford, we don't have time to waste to look at somebody on our left and look at somebody on our right. We have no time for that. We have to take a look at ourselves and ask the same type of questions that the disciples asked when Jesus said, "One of you going to betray me." We got to ask ourselves, is it I? Is it I? Is it me, Lord? Am I going to betray you, or have I been betraying you? Do I say one thing out of my mouth, but my actions in my life, they demonstrate that I'm not as really as close to you as I should be, or I'm not walking as close and I'm not walking according to your word as I profess? Who are you really close to? That's the question, because who you're really close to, it's going to tell on you. It's going to tell on you who you're really close to. Remember, at one time in the scripture says in one place that they took note of the disciples that they had been with Jesus. When the last time somebody can look at our life and look at our situation and look how we handle everyday things in life and take note? Oh, they've been with Jesus. Who are you really close to? We have to ask ourselves this question. So we get now to Luke, the 22nd chapter, and we see basically what I've already talked about, but I just wanted to show you where the scripture was and give you a little bit of background. It's time for us, I believe, to be soberly minded, because we know the days are evil, and we can't afford to fall for the devil's tricks. We can't afford to fall for his schemes and his strategies. So we have to be vigilant. Scripture says we have to be sober-minded, because our adversary, the devil, he goes about as a roaring lion, the Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. So we have to be careful. We have to be on our guard. We have to walk circumspectly. We have to allow the light of God's word to shine intensely on our path. We have to have a mindset and a heart that says, I want true and unbroken fellowship with God. So whatever is in, and we have to understand that we know when we are off. Huh? We don't have amnesia when it comes to walking with God or not. We know when we are in alignment with God's word. And one of the wonderful things about God is that he's so gracious. He's so kind. And he's so merciful. And his kindness and his graciousness and his mercy is extended to us on a constant basis. Remember in the scripture, in one of the accounts when Jesus was telling his disciples that, look, we're going to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man is going to be given into the hands of wicked men, and they're going to crucify him. And Peter said, no, Lord, no. That ain't going to happen to you. No, not you, Lord. And, you know, he was emotional, and sometimes we have some who are emotional, and we sometimes say things without thinking, or we even act, we react emotionally to certain situations. Peter said, no, far be it from you, Lord. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He had to talk to Peter, but he was talking to the one that motivated the thought and that emotional. Listen, let's not be people who act purely on emotionalism. We got to stand on God's word. Huh? We have to be people of action, not reaction. Remember in Bible study, for those of you who were here on Wednesday, the scripture we read was be anxious for nothing. For nothing at all. So we shouldn't be reactionary, but we should be men and women of action, knowing what God has promised us. And remember that Peter even said in one conversation with Jesus in one of the gospel records, he said, though all men betray you, Lord, not me. And Jesus just looked at him and said, okay, Peter, I'm going to tell you something. Before you hear a rooster, you're going to deny that you ever knew me three times. And that's exactly what he did. So again, we have to ask the question, like, hey, is it me, Lord? Am I going to betray you? Oh, no, not me. Some of us can think like Peter. I don't care if everybody turn away. I ain't going. Okay, all right. There's some situations that's coming that's going to try our faith. Huh? See whether we're walking with God like we said we are or we're not. So who are you really close to? It's the question. Who am I really close to? What do I spend the majority of the time that God allowed, that God gives to me? What do I spend that on? What's my conversation like? Huh? Where do I put the majority of the money that God lets me use? If I was to pull receipts of my spending habits, where do I spend most of my money? Is it for me? Or is it for the kingdom of God? And there was silence in heaven for about the space of a half hour. We have to deal with these issues. Because where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. So where are we putting our treasure? Where are we putting our treasure? But we're going to eat. Yes, we are. We're going to eat. Huh? And we're going to rejoice. Huh? And then what we're going to do after that? Who you really close to? So now we find ourselves in Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 14. I'm giving you biblical principles this morning. I'm teaching. Amen. Because I think teaching is more necessary than preaching. And Lord, help us to get to the point where we don't come to be entertained, but we come to be enlightened. Then we won't wear ourselves out. Lord, the word is anointed by itself. So it doesn't necessarily call for an overt physical demonstration. Because when God gave the word to Moses, Moses wasn't jumping and hollering, and he was just writing what God said. And it still stands. All right? So in verse 14 of Luke 22, and when the hour came, Jesus reclined at the table and the apostles with him, and he said to them, I have earnestly and intensely desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So he was getting ready to eat the Passover with them, and then in the eating of the Passover, he was going to institute the Lord's Supper. All right? Because again, the Passover, it was given to the children of Israel. Then he says in verse 16, for I say to you, I shall eat it no more until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it and distribute it among yourselves. So they were drinking this cup. They were drinking this cup. So with all of them, Jesus took a cup and he drank it. And then he passed the same cup to everybody. See, so that means that this cup of fellowship, this cup of the sufferings that goes along with salvation, the scripture does say that if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. So we have to drink from the same cup, the cup of salvation. We have to drink. I remember one time in scripture, the Lord asked them, are you able to drink of the same cup that I drink? And they said, yeah. And Jesus said, yeah, but you ain't ready right now. but now, as he comes to the culmination of his earthly life, he gives them the cup and he says, you all got to drink. You all have to drink. And notice, they all did, even the traitor. So just because an individual comes to a place of worship and goes through all the, goes through all the religious exercises, just because they sit close to the front, just because they clap when they're supposed to clap and sing when they're supposed to sing and throw an amen in here and a amen in there and a praise the Lord there, and they might even wave, but that does not mean that they're not a traitor. That doesn't mean that they're not a betrayer. The Lord knows them that are his, the scripture says, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from evil. So that means if we live and the Lord will, it brings to a thought in my mind that there's some changes that has to take place if God allows us to see 2018. We're going to have to deal with some of the company that we've been keeping. So what are you saying? I'm saying what I'm saying. Evil companionships. Evil communions, evil fellowships, evil associations, they corrupt and deprave good manners. So that means I'm going to have to make some decisions now. Why am I hanging with her? And why am I hanging with him? And they don't want God in their life at all. They don't even want me to mention God. They make every excuse not to come to the house of God. And I'm running with them. I'm hanging with them. I'm listening and getting advice and direction from them. Holy communion or unholy communion? This communion is holy, but the communion of our life when we leave, is it holy or is it unholy? Something to think about, don't you think? I got to examine myself. I'm just sharing, but I got to turn the spotlight on me. Because after all this teaching and preaching, I surely don't want to be a castaway. So he took this cup. He took this cup and he divided it and distributed it, he said, amongst yourselves. For I say to you, I'm in 18, for I say to you that from now on I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine at all until the kingdom of God has come. All right? So this was the part of the Passover, but now he moves into the Lord's table. All right? In verse number 19 of Luke 22, then he took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So he transitioned, right, from their spiritual recognition and memory of what the Passover lamb was, right, and the Passover feast. He transitions and said, basically, "I'm the Passover lamb. This is my body, which is broken, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." What are we going to remember about Christ when we eat this bread? What are we going to remember? Are we going to remember the life that he lived in his natural body? Are we going to remember that he did everything to please God while he was on the earth, walking in his earthly ministry? Are we going to remember that he had so much confidence that God heard every one of his prayers, because he declared out of his mouth, "I do all things that please the Father, so I know God hears me"? Are we going to remember how he was meek and lowly? Are we going to remember that he had the power to call down angels, but he allowed himself to be humble? Are we going to remember the things that Jesus did? Are we going to remember how that Jesus, he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities? Are we going to remember that Jesus went and preached the gospel message of the kingdom of God to the poor? Are we going to remember that all the outcasts, that's who Jesus went to? Are we going to remember that Jesus spoke truth? He spoke truth to the quote-unquote people who were in religious power. What are we going to remember about Jesus? Because he told us, as you eat this, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. So what are we going to remember about Jesus? And what will that remembering Jesus cause us to do in our lives? Will it cause us to walk like Jesus? Will it cause us to live like Jesus? Would it cause us to be like Jesus? Will it cause us to get closer to Jesus? Who are you really close to? Verse 20, "In like manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament or covenant ratified in my blood, which is shed, poured out for you.'" So again, he was transitioning from the old covenant. He was transitioning from the law. He was transitioning from the Passover, and actually identifying himself as the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. So he said, now this cup is the new covenant. So this ratifies the new covenant. So if you have a new covenant, then that would necessitate that the old covenant has been done away with. Right? So, and because the old covenant actually fulfilled and did its job, because the scripture does say that the law, the old covenant, was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, so that every mouth could be stopped. Because by the keeping of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. So the old covenant did its job. So now Jesus is transitioning and said, This cup is the new covenant or testament that's ratified, signed by my blood. We used to sing a song, "The blood done signed my name." Y'all remember that? Some of us do. Some of us don't. Amen. But so this is what Jesus is doing. He is transitioning. He is introducing his disciples. He is introducing his apostles into the new covenant. You know why? Because they're going to have to taste this. They're going to have to carry this on, huh? Because he's about to go to Calvary. So he has to make sure that they get it, right? And guess what? The traitor got the teaching also. That's what blows me away. The traitor was a beneficiary of all that teaching, and yet still betrayed Jesus. So, don't you be a traitor. But just as it was, there's traitors among us. Oh, Lord. Why did he have to say that? Because it's true. There's traitors among us. You need to ask yourself, is it me? Is it me? So again, they were dealing with the Passover, and the transition that Jesus was instituting here. So now let's jump back to 1 Corinthians. But this time, let's go to chapter number 5. I'm almost done. I want us to think about what we're doing. I really want us to think about it. I really do. And think about who you're really close to. Who are you comfortable with being the real you? And what does the real you look like? Does the real you have any inkling of a saint? Does the real you, the one that, oh, well, I'm just going to be me. You know, some of us, oh, Lord. Well, some people are good actors, I'll say that. I'm going to include us in the realm because surely we're not actors. I'm being sarcastic. But when you get around your circle, who's the influence you want in your circle? Are you the most spiritual one in your circle? Or is there a spiritual person in your circle at all? If not, can I suggest something? Find another circle. Because if the blind lead the blind, what's going to happen? They're going to all fall in the ditch. Somebody got to have some sight. And if you're the smartest one in your circle, and you got all the answers, how can somebody pour into your life if you know everything? So we have to be dynamic, not static. We have to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. So if I'm the one that's pouring and I don't have nobody that can, watch this. Here's an A word that some people don't like. If I don't have accountability, and someone can pull my coat and check me, I need someone to hold me accountable in my circle. So I won't get the big head and think that, I haven't mastered anything. So if no one in your circle can hold you accountable to the standard and the word of God, you need another circle. You need somebody that can say, brother, you're wrong. Whatever your title is, title or no title, collar or no collar, if all you got is a polo shirt, you need somebody to tell you, you're wrong. This is what God says, right? Who are you really close to? Do you have people in your life like that? Or do you just want yes people? Yeah, go ahead and do it. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with it myself. You know, I was thinking the same thing. No, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Whatsoever things is good, that's what we're supposed to think on. Things that are lovely, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I need somebody reminding me of that every now and then. How about you? Who are you really close to? I'm going to have to make me a list. I'm going to have to unfriend some folks. Don't take it personal, but I mean to make heaven my home. I want to help people, and I need help myself. Who are you close to? That means I have to get out of my comfort zone. If everybody tell me, yeah, go ahead. Anything I come up with, you telling me, yeah, go ahead. I start to question, what are you trying to do, make me fall? Come on. I know I ain't right all the time, but I know what is right and who is right all the time, the word of God. That's the standard. See, this world is totally against God. And this world will change, and popular opinion will change, and perceptions will change, and trends will change, but forever God's word is settled in heaven. So don't just because the crowd is with you, that don't mean nothing. A crowd can turn in a week. We got scripture for that. Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. 1 week later, crucify him. So don't put your hopes and confidence on the crowd. Oh, they with me. Yeah, they with you now. But you start living truth. You start telling the truth. You start shining light on darkness. And watch what happens. Crucify. They will crucify you with their mouth. All right. Okay. Let me continue so I can wrap up. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. I'm concerned, and I believe God is concerned with us. It says in verse 7, purge, clean out the old leaven, that you may be fresh, new dough. See, this points again back to, again, the Passover. They were supposed to search their houses, and take out all leaven. And leaven is a type of sin. So God is saying to the Corinthian church, and in essence to the 2017 church, he's saying, purge, clean out the old leaven, that you may be fresh, new dough. Still uncontaminated. See, there were some things that even after. Now, again, he's writing this to the church at Corinth. So evidently, there were some people in the church at Corinth that had allowed themselves to get contaminated. And there are some people in the church of 2017, some of us have allowed ourselves to get contaminated. We have allowed the influences, the ungodly influences, to contaminate our hearts and our mind at certain levels. You might not want to hear it, but you need to hear it. So he says, purge, clean out the old leaven, that you may be fresh, new dough, still uncontaminated as you are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. So he brings it in. He brings in everything that we've been saying about the Passover and the transition. All right? Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven. So we're getting ready to feast. But we can't keep it with old leaven. We can't keep it with old thinking. We can't keep it with fleshly thinking, fleshly motives, right? No, not and allow it to be true holy communion, right? Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, nor with leaven of vice and malice and wickedness. So we got to get rid of all that stuff. Search me, Lord. Turn your light from heaven on my soul. If you find anything, that's what the songwriter said, that shouldn't be. Take it out. Strengthen me. Why? I want to be right. I want to be saved. I want to be whole. But with the unleavened bread of purity, nobility, honor, and sincerity, and unadulterated truth. God's word is true even when I'm wrong. God's word is always going to be right. And God's word will never change. If there's changing, well, not if, the change that's necessary, I have to make those changes. I have to be willing to make the changes because God's word is forever settled in heaven. So I got to deal with the leaven in my own life, in this house. I got to sweep the crevices and the secret compartments of my heart and see what things I'm not giving over to God. Because I want true fellowship with God. Isn't that what we want? We want true fellowship with God. All right? He said in verse number 9, I wrote you in my previous letters. Now watch this. It's going to get a little deeper. I wrote you in my previous letters not to associate closely and habitually with unchaste, impure people. Who are you hanging with? He said, I done told you in another letter. You shouldn't hang with those type of people. Oh, Lord. You mean I can't stay with my friends? I wrote you in my previous letter not to associate closely. See? Not to associate closely and habitually. Why are you always going over there? Why are you always running over there? I ain't write this. Y'all looking at me? We came for communion. We didn't come for this. This is what you need. This is what we need. He said, I done wrote you, so this ain't the first time you hear. This is not the first time you heard a message like this. He said, I wrote you in my previous letter not to associate closely and habitually with unchaste, impure people. So ask yourself, you know who you hanging with. Oh, Lord, there won't be no shouting this morning. I'm glad we shouted and had a good time last night. If you missed it, you missed a shout last night. We were rejoicing in the Lord. Now we need some sober medicine so we can know what we're shouting about. So when the next shout comes, we can really shout. Amen. Verse 10, now watch this. Not meaning, of course, that you must altogether shun the immoral people of this world. So what he's basically saying, he says, you need to be in the world but not of the world. I'm not telling you to go live up on some mountain like a hermit somewhere, but I'm telling you not to associate, not to be in agreement, not to be in close communion with people who are unchaste, with people who are impure, with people who live like they don't know God. Go down the list of sin. All right? If they living like that, he said, don't closely associate with them. And the sad part about it is this was happening in the church at Corinth. We can't miss that, y'all. It was happening at the church of Corinth. And guess what? There was some in that church that were boasting about our church. And Paul said, this is to your shame. Well, you allowed this type of sin to go on. And you ain't doing nothing about it. Ooh-wee. God, we need your help. Not meaning, of course, that you must altogether shun the immoral people of this world, or the greedy graspers and cheats and thieves or idolaters, since otherwise you would need to get out of the world and human society altogether. It's in the world, but they shouldn't be your buddies. They shouldn't be your go-to people. They need to be coming to you for some light. But you hanging with them, you rolling with them, you sparking it up with them, you turn up with them, you take it to the head with them. But now, watch this. Verse 11, don't worry, we're going to get to the table after a while. We're getting there. We're closer than when we was when we came in here. But God wants holy communion. And there's some unholy stuff that we got to deal with. All right. Verse 11, but now I write to you not to associate, put your seatbelt on for this one, not to associate with anyone who bears the name of Christian brother if he is known to be guilty of immorality or greed or is an idolater. Whose soul is devoted to any object that usurps the place of God. Oh, Lord, help us here. So now he narrows it in. Say, if there's a Christian brother in your fellowship, Corinthian church, who calls himself a Christian, but if he is known, let's deal with that. Not some gossip. If he is known, to be guilty of immorality. Now let's deal with immorality first. That stops a whole lot. That covers a gamut of conduct and behavior by the Christian brother at the Church of Corinth. If he is known to be guilty of immorality, don't associate with that Christian brother. That seems like a hard pill to swallow, don't it? Huh? Is it a hard pill to swallow? Come on, talk to me. Come on. Oh, y'all. Come on, say something. One or the other. Because you know where I'm going. This is God's word. We're going to have to deal with this. We got to be mature. So what are you saying? I'm reading. I ain't saying nothing. I'm reading. I know how some people are trying. So what is he saying? He's reading. Tell yourself he's reading. He's not saying, he's reading. So don't put it on me. Put it on God. If he be guilty of immorality. What's immorality? Can we unpack that? Okay. If you're doing stuff that God said don't do, that's immorality. Plain and simple. Don't need a paragraph for that, do you? That covers everything. Everything that you're doing that God said don't do, that's immorality. They're trying to cut my mic. And specifically, the devil is a liar. I'll come down there and talk without a mic. Because we got to get this. All right? And specifically, the case for this was that in the Corinthian church, there was incest going on. When you read the context of what was happening. And Paul said, this incest is not even named among the heathens. The ungodly folks wasn't doing what somebody in the church at Corinth was doing. All right? So that kind of narrows it down. All right, I'm going to let this rabbit out. We're going to chase this for a minute. There's some sexual sins that are going on in the house of God. Let's just deal with that. Christian brothers and sisters, those who were known to be guilty of immorality, the Bible said, do not associate with anyone who bears the name of Christian brother if he is known to be guilty. Oh, Lord. Sometimes it's in our own families. What we gonna do with that one? Will y'all invite me back next week? We want Holy Communion. Guilty of immorality or greed, or is an idolater whose soul is devoted to any object that usurps the place of God. Do we place anything above God in our lives? Click the seatbelt one more notch. Suck it in. Click it one more notch. Or is a person with a foul tongue. Have you ever been cussed out by a saint? Do you know saints that use profanity? Oh, Lord, help us here. Might have to find me another church to serve after this one. But I'll be back by God's grace. Or is a person, again, writing to a church, y'all. And this was happening way back then. So is it happening now? Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. Or a person with a foul tongue. So, oh Lord. Railing, abusing, reviling, slandering. Or is a drunkard? Oh, help me here now, God. You messing with somebody's hobby horse. You're messing with somebody's besetting sin, or is a drunkard. A drunkard in the church. Oh, well, I just need a little something just to calm me down. No, you don't. You need the word. Or a swindler. Or a robber. No, you must not so much as eat with such a person. Oh, Lord. But no, you can't come over here and eat no more until you change your ways. Glory. Hallelujah. Huh? Am I making this up? Do we have to come up to this? With the proper understanding. In fact, go back and read this fifth chapter. And Paul said, for that one that was committing that incest sin, he said, you deliver him to Satan. Read it. He said, give him to Satan so that his body can be destroyed, but his soul can be saved. So what's important is the saving of your soul. So we might have to let you go. So you can learn not to sin. Now that doesn't sound like an appealing message to a church. Huh? Wait a minute, he's supposed to be trying to win people. Yeah? But I want to win you the right way. I want to win you to salvation. I want to win you to consistency. I want to let you know what you're in for. We got to live this thing. So who are you really close to? All right, we're going to pray. We sure need to pray, don't we? And then we're going to eat. All right, we're going to pray, and then we're going to eat. But before we pray, you need to ask yourself, am I a betrayer, Lord? Have I been a betrayer, Lord? Am I going to sit at your table, eat with you, and rejoice? And then, is my life going to betray you? Is my habits going to betray you? Is my behavior going to betray you? One of the 12. And in one account, Jesus said, what you do, do quickly. And the other ones didn't know. See, we don't know who the betrayers are among us. But they and God know. And guess what? Even if you were a betrayer or living like a betrayer, you can cancel that in this moment. That's the grace of God. Somebody ought to praise God for his grace. Because the Bible does say if God would mark iniquity, who could stand? So even a betrayer can come clean. If people can, as we see what's going on in the news, just a glimpse into the window of the news, if people can cut deals with prosecutors like General Flynn did and turn state's evidence, surely we can cut a deal with the righteous judge of all the earth and turn state's evidence on the devil. And say, yes, he had me doing this, he had me doing that, he had me doing this, and he had me, I'm telling on him. And throw myself on the mercy of the court of heaven. Do like David did in Psalm 51, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Look at the mercy of God. It's already written in here that if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who are you close to? Who are you really close to? All right. I think that's about enough for now. That's enough for now. Amen. That's enough to chew on, to digest, to look at it some more and say, God, you got to help me. Anybody else need the help of God? Because I don't want to be a rock in our feast of love, or spot in our feast of love. Amen? All right. If you're willing and able, we need to have a prayer. Would you say that's in order? All right. If you find yourself somewhere in this message, whether intentionally, willfully, or unintentionally, because sometimes that is the circumstance. I'm just be real with that. Some things we do intentionally and willfully, and some things we don't. But we do them nonetheless. Huh? So if you find yourself somewhere in this message, then if you're able and willing, make your way down to the altar. We're going to pray. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Whether in word, in deed, or in thinking, huh? Certain things we allow when we don't have to allow them, all right? And even, now watch this, even in our stand for righteousness, we still must be gracious, huh? Even in our stand for righteousness, we still must be gracious, huh? Because what would have happened if God would have given up on us when we were acting a little contrary or when we got out of pocket? But he was gracious to us. He is gracious to us, not willing, the Bible says, that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Huh? So that same graciousness that God extends to us, surely, church at Corinth, surely church at Los Angeles, surely church wherever you are, we can be gracious to one another. This was an in-house thing. Huh? It was to the church at Corinth. So we need to pray. Now, all I'm doing is leading the prayer, but I'm in the prayer with you. Huh? Don't get it twisted. I'm not all that. Let's just be real with that. All right? I'm praying for all of us. All right? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, first of all, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness, your grace. Oh, God, your grace. Your mercy, God. Oh, we can't even comprehend or begin to even comprehend your mercy and your long-suffering, oh God, that you would, even after you saved us, put up with us. Oh God, we bless your name. Lord, we come acknowledging our wrong thinking at whatever level, our wrong conversation at whatever level, our wrong actions at whatever level, oh God. We're not making any excuses or explanations, oh God, but we acknowledge that we were wrong and we are wrong. Wash us, oh God. Purge us with hyssop. Wash us and we shall be clean, oh God. You said if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, you told us to examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith. You told us to make our calling and election sure. This is what we are endeavoring to do, Lord God, because we know that you are soon to return. And Lord God, we want nothing between our soul and our Savior. So have your way. Search our hearts. Know our thoughts. See if there be some wicked way in us. Cleanse us from sin and lead us, Lord, in the way everlasting. Write your word on the table of our hearts and cause us to walk upright before you. Help us to stand on your word, realizing the truth of your word, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, Lord God. Help us to walk according to your word. Help us to be the light and salt that you're calling for in these last and evil days. Help us to lay aside every weight, every sin that does so easily beset us, and run with patience, oh God, this course, this race that is set before us. As we look to you, God, you are the author, you are the finisher, you are the completer of our faith. And our faith looks up to you, Lord God. Help us to walk humbly with you, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, that our actions, our conversations, our behavior, our relationships, everything that we are about will be pleasing to you, that you might get glory out of our lives. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from our iniquity. Help us to walk in agreement after this prayer. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to eat your body. We thank you for the privilege to drink your blood. We thank you for the privilege for doing it and calling you affectionately into remembrance. We will walk as you walked. We will live as you lived, to do those things that will bring glory to you. We thank you for hearing our prayer. We thank you for answering our prayer. And we are determined to walk from this moment on in agreement with this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. If you believe this prayer, give God praise. Give God praise. We will never be the same. If we took this prayer to heart, we will never be the same. Amen? Amen. For those of you who are watching by live stream, we're the Apostolic Faith of Home Assembly Church. We're located at 13515 South Figueroa in the beautiful city of Los Angeles. We thank you for tuning in to our live stream broadcast. We hope that something was said that caused you to question in your mind, according to the will and the word of God, who are you really close to? We recommend Jesus. If we live in the Lord will, we will see you Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our weekly Bible study. God bless you. God keep you. If you go to our church's website, well, on your page, there should be a number on your page. For the next 15 minutes, we have prayer counselors standing by to take your prayer requests. And if you feel led of the Lord to give a monetary donation to our assembly, go to the Home Assembly page at www.homeassembly.org and click on the contribution tab and give your tax deductible contribution to this ministry. God bless you in Jesus' name. All right, at this time we're going to prepare for our communion portion of our service.
Search me.
Amen. That's hymn number 91.
Know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. Know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be